Morning, everyone. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we discussed a little bit about this last night, and I'll bring you back perhaps a little bit, and we'll go over a few things that we talked about last night, but I'd like to read the verse, six verses of Hebrews chapter 11. And our weekend theme is that of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let us just ask the Lord to bless our time this morning. Father, we come before you again, Lord. We ask you to bless us in a special way, Father. Father, I pray to you on the way here this morning that you know everyone that has come. And a verse that you brought to my heart was, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And if there be any hurtful way in me, lead me in the everlasting way. And Father, I pray this morning that each and every one that has come under the sound of thy word, Father, this morning might be blessed for it, might be encouraged by it, might be challenged by the word of God, Father, and that each and every one of us, Father, might, Father, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray these things this morning in thy Savior's, in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Last night we focused in on verse 3. By faith we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. Spent the whole time there last night on that verse because I think it's fundamental. Just from having been a Christian now for slightly over 20 years, I can tell you that this verse here is absolutely key because it brings us to the very foundation of our faith. And we read in Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And we talked about this faith last night, not being, God's not asking you to check your brains at the door when you come in here. And when you read the Bible, God's not asking you to get rid of the gray matter that he's given you so that you can reason these things out. He's not asking you to do that. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to tell you there are things in this word that you are not going to fully understand. I can tell you that after 20 years of studying God's word. But there has to come a point in your life where you have to accept this book as being the very word of God. God will reward you for that. And there may be questions in your head. And what I was saying, that just like in baseball, where you have to touch first base, even if you hit the ball over the fence, if you don't touch first base, you're out. First base in your faith comes back to the verse that we are looking at. By faith, we understand that the world was framed by the Word of God. Because I'll tell you why. Satan himself would have you not believe that verse. Satan himself would have you take out Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Satan would discourage you from believing that, Christian. You know why? Because he doesn't want you to believe the rest of the book, nor especially the end of the book. If you take out Genesis 1 and 1, you might as well take out the book of Revelation too. I heard last week I was in Northern Ontario there in Hearst, and apparently there was a split in the chapel up there. And one of the elders, and I can't understand how he could be an elder, but one of the elders up there had, there had been a split over the Word of God, and he believed anything that the Apostle Paul had written was not inspired. You know what, friend, we can go through the book, and we can start, I believe this, but I don't believe that. And, I'll tell you, you'll never please God. Not only will you be confused, and not only will your faith end you up in a ditch. You folks, fundamentally, this, for your faith, this is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away." And every jot and tittle in this book is inspired. And I was telling the story last night of Billy Graham, who wrestled with this while he was going through Bible college. A lot of times, I call it bridal college, but, in Bible college, a lot of times the intelligentsia, they get you thinking so much that, like when my son went to Emmaus several years ago, he said, "Dad, like for every night there was a big discussion on whether... about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. Were you chosen? Or did God choose you?" And they used to discuss that every night. Got to a point that, some of these kids, their faith was shipwrecked over that. "Well, I'm not going to witness anymore because God chooses people. Has nothing to do with whether I share Jesus Christ with somebody or not. Because beforehand, God predestined whether you'd be saved or not." And this was a big discussion at that time down there. And folks, I'm not against Bible college. What I'm saying to you is this. Fundamentally, you have to come to a choice in your life. Because we read last night in Proverbs chapter 4 that this understanding and wisdom is something that you get. It's a choice you make. And I'll tell you something, that years ago, over 20 years ago, when I first became a Christian, I have never, and I mean this sincerely, I've never doubted God's word, even for a minute since then. Now, I've doubted myself. I've had trouble with Tony Martin. That's the big trouble I have in life. It's with me. But I believe this is God's word. I put my trust, I put my life, I put my eternal salvation based on this book. And friend, it has never disappointed me. I'm glad that I don't go through life with just questioning everything. And last night we talked about, we get into this, if it's not, is the earth 6 or 7,000 years old, or is it 100 billion years old? Like I was telling the kids last night that, science is very relative, because I was talking about tonsils last night. Funny topic, but, when you were my age, wait a minute, when I was your age, no, even younger. Well, when I was in grade 2, okay, it's funny because I remember this, every kid in our class, we had 40 kids, we all lost our tonsils within about a year. They didn't fall out of our head. We went to the hospital and had them taken out. You know why? Because as soon as you got your first real good tonsil or sore throat, you went to the hospital in the 50s and the early 60s and you had your tonsils removed. You know why? Because they thought it was part of your evolutionary process and you didn't need them. And I was saying to the young people last night that I'll give anybody in here, and I mean this, a $1,000 check that won't bounce. If you go to a doctor and ask him to take your tonsils out, and you can even offer him that thousand or half, split it with him. Not a chance. You know why? Because now they know that one of your primary defense mechanisms in your immune system are your tonsils. So folks, what am I saying? Science changes. God's word doesn't. God's word doesn't. So, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know what I love about Hebrews 11 and verse 3? Before anybody else is mentioned in this famous chapter of, look at all those names down there. You read through that and it's the hall of faith, isn't it? It's just such a wonderful chapter of all the people that are mentioned here. And we'll mention a few as we go through this weekend. But we get named first. Young people, do you believe that? Put your name there. By faith, Tony understands that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. You go down the list. By faith, Sarah. Well, put your name up in Hebrews 11 and 3 if you believe that. Because remember, without faith, it is impossible to believe God, to please God. So by faith, Tony understands that the worlds were framed by the word of God. You know what? I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, please. First Corinthians, and we'll read a verse in chapter 1 and then read a few verses in chapter 2. Look at verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 18. Verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know what this scripture is telling us, folks? God's setting people up. It's a big setup. I love it. It's like God's playing a game with people. And the so-called intelligentsia of the world that, you know, you take a swat at a mosquito and you're just hitting one of your distant relatives. I mean, that's what you're being taught in school, right? Your great-great, go back quite a few greats, was an ape, right? And you just evolved. God's setting those people up. It's almost like a joke. Here's what he says. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? God's setting people up, folks. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. It's reversed. God has set people up and has made the message, and we'll talk about this in a minute, the message of the cross, foolishness. Foolishness to those who are not being saved, but to you and I who believe that message, it brings us power. And I'll explain that in a minute. Look at verse 26, same chapter. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Complete reversal of what the world thinks. You got all the brains in the world, and you don't use it to God's glory. You got all the brains in the world. You got all the money in the world. That's how the world, right? That's how you're on top. You know? That's how the world classifies people. You're either a loser or you're a winner. And all these reality shows really tell us a lot about ourselves. Because, you know, you see the great makeover and things like that. People are just so unhappy with what they are. They want to get to a different position in life. Well, God has said, well, look, the reverse is true. You know, you and I need to humble ourselves before God. Accept some of the things that we might not fully understand, but we take them by faith. And God says, that's wisdom. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It seems so silly. The cross of Calvary, some loser Jew there that went up and died on the cross, like to the world, that just, it doesn't make any sense. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God. Look at that verse. No one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things which we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Folks, as I was saying last night, what an advantage you and I have. If you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He has given you the very Spirit of God that's living within you. And not only that, He's given you wisdom beyond that of your teachers. He's given you an understanding. And if you touch first base, that you believe that God spoke this world into existence, that God is an awesome God, that you put no limits on His power. Do you believe that, Christian? Because if you do, and if you believe that this is His Word, God will honor you. God, it says, goes to and fro above the earth, seeking to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to Him. Young people, you need to grab on to this, because He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. By faith we understand. This is what this text is telling us in Corinthians, that the world has worldly wisdom. It's man's instincts. Let me give you an example. By faith you and I understand what the problem is. We're not like Bill Clinton says, here's the problem. It's the economy, stupid. Well, the problem isn't the economy, but the world thinks it is. You talk to a social worker, and here's what they think the problem is. The problem is, if we can just change people's environment. You know, if they had a house, they had, if the environment had changed, And I don't necessarily mean the air that we breathe, although the world thinks that that's a huge problem. Folks, by faith, we understand what the problem is. You know what the problem is? Sin. Sin. That's foolishness to the world. The problem is not the world. The problem is you and I. It's the human problem. Isn't it wonderful to know? You look at the world and by faith, I know what the problem is. I read the news. Were you surprised? Are you surprised by September 11th, 2001? I was horrified, but not surprised. Why? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what the Bible says. And you know what, folks? I know what the problem is. The problem in the world is people. Just get rid of people, you're going to solve all the problems. That's true, isn't it? Think about it. It doesn't matter whether you go over into Africa, into Somalia, into the Middle East. Is the problem is because the Palestinians are, they need to be free? Is the problem that the Jews need to, just stick to their own little territory there and all the problems in the Middle East will be solved? I never hear much about, you ever hear about this? Last night in Sudbury, heading the news on MCTV, a pile of cattle came into town and were, broke up, robbed a bank, and, decided to have a party in the streets over, bunch of stupid cows. How come you never hear about that? Because the problem ain't the cows. The problem is you and me. It's sin. It's our hearts. I remember reading the book of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a lady that was in the... She had helped the Jews during the Second World War and then was put into a concentration camp where all of her family were killed by the Nazis. And Corrie Ten Boom testified at the Nuremberg trials. And she said she was walking in one day to testify against these war criminals, the Nazis who had killed her whole family. And there was a little old guy there. And she looked at him. She said, "It looks just like my grandfather. He was such a cute little old guy," she said. Just looked like such a... She felt like putting her arms around him. But on that very day, when she went and sat in the courtroom of the Nuremberg trials, this guy was on trial for having killed tens of thousands of Jews. And she said, it shocked me because she said he looked like such a nice man. Any of you guys too young to remember Paul Bernardo? They're going to make a movie about him next year. Hollywood's decided. One of the most notorious killers in Canada, him and his wife Carla Harmulka, killed and dismembered bodies. Remember that? Maybe you don't. You know that creep that's on trial in the United States right now? What's his name? Scott Simpson? Is that his last name? Scott Peterson? Girls are writing him while he's in prison. They want to marry him because he's so good looking. Doesn't matter that he killed his wife who was 9 months pregnant. That don't matter. He's good looking. He might get off on a technicality, but he did it. He was having an affair on his wife, and they got that all recorded. And, OJ, You guys remember that? O.J. Simpson for the Buffalo Bills, one of the greatest running backs that ever played in the NFL, who cut his wife's head off. I mean, literally. He got off on a technicality. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing surprises Tony Martin, because when I read my Bible, I understand the problem. The problem, folks, is our hearts. And a heart full of sin is capable of doing unbelievable things. And I'm glad I understand that. You see, that's wisdom. You know, it's not a matter of changing our environment. It's not a matter of just, you know, if we all had the money, we'd all be good guys. You know, we have a prison ministry here at the chapel. We go into the Sudbury jail. I'm always shocked by, there was this young fella here. I don't remember if James, you were with me or not, but I just couldn't get over it. There's this young guy there. He was about maybe 18 or 19, and you know, we were talking about some of the crimes they had committed, and he had been robbing stores here in Sudbury. And he was making it, you know, he was saying, well, I was just trying to feed my family. Well, wait a minute. I didn't think you had a family. Well, you know, I got to make a living, right? I got to make a living, he said. Well, why don't you go flip hamburgers? Or serve Tim Hortons coffee. That'll give you a living. But, you know, he felt, you know, in his heart, he was justifying his crime. The last time I was in there was a young lady there who since then, I believe, has really repented. But she said to the chaplain there in the jail, she said, well, I wasn't using the drugs. I was just selling them. As if to say, well, you know, using them is a bigger crime than just selling them. I mean, after all, I have to make a living. But you see the justification that the world will make for people? But folks, the problem is ourselves. By faith, we understand. By faith, we understand. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. By faith, we understand the cross. You see, folks, if we know the problem is sin, we understand the remedy of sin. That's a tremendous privilege. You know, like I said, the world looks at the cross. There was some loser up there that, you know, feels sorry for him at best. But you and I look at the cross, we look at it from an understanding that God gives us, hey, that's the remedy for sin. It's the cure for the problem. And we understand the very purpose of the cross. That's tremendous wisdom, young people. To understand the very purpose of the cross. The Lamb, John the Baptist, looked at Jesus Christ and said, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Folks, it's tremendous wisdom to be able to look at the cross, an event that took place over 2,000 years ago, and you look back and that's the most important event in the history of the world. The very cross of Calvary. It happened on a little hill outside of Jerusalem. It would seem so insignificant to the world, but folks, to you and I, it's the very power of God. We understand the purpose of the cross. Because if Jesus hadn't gone to the cross, you and I would be still dead in our sins and trespasses. Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Isn't it wonderful to understand that? I never understood it. I had a cross around my neck when I was a little kid. I had a cross in every bedroom that I slept in. I had a cross in every classroom I went to, but I never understood the cross. I never did. I didn't realize that Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. He went for me. He had to go. It had to be God Himself. The mystery of godliness is God manifest in the flesh. God Himself went to the cross. And it's so wonderful. You can read really about the cross on almost every page in this book. Because the Old Testament just points, it's a picture of what was to come at the cross. And then you read about Abraham sacrificing his son. What a picture of the cross. And God, you know, stopped Abraham at the very last second and said, "Okay, Abraham, I believe you by you believe me by faith. God will provide Himself a lamb." You can read that and you can understand that. To the world, it's foolishness. You know, at the very start of sin, the very first sin, you know what God did there? Young people, you remember that in the garden in Genesis chapter 3? You know what God did? Anybody here got an animal? You got a cat or a dog at home? Or a horse? Lots, right? Okay, you did something wrong today. You said something wrong. You thought something wrong. I go over to your house, I take your little cat, right in front of your eyeballs, and I slit its throat, and I let the blood drip down. And after it dies, I skin it. It's pretty horrifying, isn't it? That's what God did. Listen, after Adam and Eve sinned, you know what he did? Because they were covering up, you see. "Oh, Adam, where are you?" God says, God knew exactly where he was. Adam says, "Well, I'm naked." "Oh, I thought you had fig leaves on." He wasn't naked. He covered himself up, but it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough, for the wages of sin is death. You know what God did? Right before his eyeballs, read it. He took a little lamb. Well, it says an animal, but I think it was a lamb. Can you imagine? The little lamb didn't do anything wrong. Innocent. God himself took that lamb and he slit its throat. And he let the blood drop down. And then he skinned it. And he took that skin and he covered Adam and Eve up. Folks, that's foolishness to the world, but to God and to you and I, when you understand the cross, that's what happened at the cross. Jesus Christ was innocent. He never did anything wrong. And you know what God did to him? You didn't do it to him. He allowed it to happen. God put his son on the cross. And he drained every drop of blood. Why? So that you and I could be covered from our sin. And our sin, as far as the east is from the west, will be remembered no more. Folks, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe, it's wisdom. Sounds horrific, doesn't it? But I'll tell you, there was a tremendous price to pay for you to be saved. And if you don't think that it should have cost that much because you think you're a half-decent person, then you cannot be saved. Because it took the death of his son for you to get to heaven. And for Tony Martin to get to heaven. And you know, you might say, "Well, I'm not as bad as OJ. Yes, you are. Yeah. Now, you might not have killed somebody. But did you ever say something bad about somebody? Hey, guys. You ever think something bad about another woman? You might as well have done it." That's what Jesus said. So remember that. You needed to be saved every bit as much as OJ did. And the same price that it cost for Adam and Eve in that sense was paid at the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Sounds pretty horrific, you know. Christianity is a bloody religion. It is. Foolishness to the world, but to you and I, Christian, I'll tell you something. You got trouble going to the Lord's Supper? Shame on you. Shame on you, Christian. You got trouble getting up Sunday morning? Shame on you. When you consider the cross of Calvary, you consider the price that had to be paid for you. If there was no one else, Jesus would have went to the cross and died for you, and you find it, can't wake up Sunday morning. Can't go. You know, I'll get there for 11, but boy, it's tough getting there for 9:30, man. You don't understand, Tony. I work hard all week. I study. I can't get out of bed. You got trouble with that? Because you don't understand what happened at that cross. Christian, someone went and took your place. Jesus said this, he who has been forgiven much, loves much. Loves much. Now you might not have been the bum I was before I got saved. But all I know is, it cost the same for your salvation as it did for mine. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who believe, it is the power of God. By faith, we understand. Folks, you don't understand. We do not understand even the edge of the cross and the sacrifice that took place there. Because if we did, you and I would fall in love with that person of the cross in a real hurry. And we wouldn't have any trouble obeying him. When you really love someone, young people, you know enough about love to understand this, do you? When you love someone, really? There used to be a song in the 80s, you guys probably wouldn't remember. It used to play in my office because I had this sound system coming through. And I hated that song! Torn between two lovers. Didn't know which one to choose. You know what? That's an impossibility. How can you be torn between two lovers? Well, folks, that's what the Bible says. James chapter 4 says, you adulterers. I hate this verse. I wish I could take it out of my Bible. You adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? And anyone chooses to be a friend, torn between two lovers. I remember hearing that song. If I love my wife, I could, you know, I've heard this. I just did enough of Christian marriage counseling to be dangerous, probably. But I remember one guy coming in to see me and, you know what, Tony? I love my wife, but I fell in love with someone else at the same time. Bobblycock! That's nonsense! I really love her, but come on! That's stupidity! He had convinced himself. Well, you know, I couldn't help myself. Look at the cross in your minds, Christian. Look at the cross. Look where you are right now in your own hearts. You're having trouble surrendering to Jesus Christ. It's, you know why, Christian? Can I be honest with you? Because you don't love him. Oh, you might have sentimental feelings, you know. You get to a rally like this and, you know, oh, great, you know, I'm around Christians. It's a good thing. But then you get out there on Monday morning and you're back to your same old bad habits and you're listening to the same old music and you know, really, you got 2 feet in the world, really, but 1 foot, we'll say, and 1 foot in Christianity. You know what? Half and half is good for coffee. That's about what it's good for.
You can't do it. You can't do it. Because if you do, you're saying, he went to the cross, but I love someone else too. Oh, I love you, Jesus, but doesn't cut, Christian. Doesn't cut. You know what makes God sick? He'd rather you be hot for him or cold for him. But he can't stand lukewarmness. Did you know that? Revelation chapter 3. The church at Laodicea. He said, you know what? I wish you were hot. Or I wish you were cold. I can deal with those, but I can't handle when you're lukewarm. By faith, we understand. Christian, today, evaluate where you are with him. Look at the Word of God. And first base is realizing that God's Word, all of God's Word, is his Word. It'll never pass away. You're going to hear about from your teachers and from your friends and blah, blah, blah. You're going to hear all sorts of confusing messages. But just remember that the wisdom that God has given you to understand these things. It's a tremendous privilege to be able to understand, to look at the world, know what the problem is, and know what the solution to the problem is. Let us pray. Father, we come before you, God, this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Father, I pray for each and every one that has come this morning. Once again, Father, you know their hearts. You know where they're at with you. There are probably people in this room, Father, that are lukewarm to the things of God. And Father, they know it, and you know it. There are probably people in this room, Father, who are cold towards the things of God, even though they're here this weekend. And Father, they know it, and you know it. And Lord, I pray for those two groups here today. I pray that you might bring them back to the very foot of the cross. They might see again the very problem that existed, their problem of sin, and what it cost heaven to rid them of sin. Father, we need a fresh glimpse of your Son. Father, many of us need to fall in love again, to be brought back to those very basics of Christianity. And Father, I pray for those in this room, because I know there is a third group that are in love with your Son. Nothing being held back. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.